Grace and peace to you, and welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday as we now enter Holy Week, as we make this journey to the cross. It's been quite a journey through Lent, and there's just this final week left. I hope you're still reading your devotional, preparing yourself for the special events of this week. But as we come to Good Friday, this Friday, and then on into Easter Sunday, it'll be a wonderful time together. But today, we're on Palm Sunday, so does everybody have their palms? All right? So you'll see the words on the screen. Let's wave those palms. Let's get them going good. You got them? Just like the people and the children did in the city welcoming Jesus. And let's say these words together. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. One more time. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. All right, as we begin worship together, let's say the Lord's Prayer as we always do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and for sending us Jesus. And Lord, for at least one day, the world got it right. Welcoming Jesus. Understanding that he was sent by you. Understanding that he had for them what their hearts longed for. And Father, I pray we will look to you again today, trying to worship you and lift you up as best we can. Lord, inhabit the praises of your people today, and may we live under the shadow of your wing always. And we ask that you'll move in the time that we share together. Be with those who are grieving, be with those who are celebrating. In all of it, Lord, we still say Hosanna to you. We lift up your name. We cry for you to come quickly and deliver us from the trials of this time. But we give thanks as well today. So be in our worship. Be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing. Thank you. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that Jesus went to the cross, but he has called us to follow in his footsteps. And so this week, let's focus in, let's reflect on what he did for us. And today, we are remembering how he turned toward that city, even though he knew what was to come. So this time, as we prepare for prayer, I want to remind you about giving. You can give if you're watching online by going to, or if you're here and didn't bring any other way to give, go to fairmeadowchurch.org and click the Give Today button. That's a great way to give. We also have plates at the back that you can give on your way out. You can mail it in. You can even on Facebook click the Donate button. But we appreciate your faithfulness in giving as it makes a difference in the gospel going forward. Also, here we are in the week of Holy Week, so we do have special services. Today is the Palm Sunday service. Good Friday, that's this Friday at 6:30 p.m. When is that? That's right. Friday at 6:30 p.m., and we'll be celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross, remembering, reflecting, and giving thanks. Then, of course, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, where we'll be fully celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That'll be at 10 a.m. next Sunday. So we look forward to the special events of this week. As we go to prayer, Joy is going to come and lead us. I need to give you an update that with Norma Goff, unfortunately, the decision had to be made yesterday to suspend all support for her as doctors feel she is not going to recover. So she's in the Lord's hands at this point, and we don't know how long she will stay with us, but continue to pray for her. We did have a good visit with her Friday night, Ellen and I. She did recognize us while we were there. Just for a brief moment, we were able to have prayer with her, and we know that she is ready to meet the Lord. So just be praying for her, and especially for Chester, who's there by her side during these difficult times. But thank you for the prayers. Continue to show support to Chester any way that you can in these days to come. But we're thankful that the Lord is being faithful to them. He has been all across the years, and he's being faithful to them now. We're also praying for Martha Truman. She's glad to be home and receiving therapy there. So continue to pray for her. A swallow test is coming up at the end of this week, so pray for her that she'll be able to get back on solid food, but she does seem stronger these days. And of course, just pray for everyone who may be traveling and for all the needs of our church family. Help us to continue to be faithful in all that we're doing. But we want to pray for Christians around the world who have an even more difficult time. Again, for those in Ukraine, we are praying especially, and then for those in Poland and other nearby countries where Christians are offering support. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries is especially active in Poland, making a big difference with refugees there. So with all these things in mind, let's go before the Lord as Joy leads us in prayer.
This past week, I have been focusing on the names of God during my prayer time. And I want to share with you Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord is there, the Lord my companion. God's presence is not contained in the tabernacle or the temple, but it's accessible to all of us who love and obey him. So let's say that word together, Jehovah Shammah, and just know that the Lord is with each and every one of us as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for who you are, for what you do, for your presence in our lives. There are times when we must admit we feel all alone, but we're not. Let us remember Jehovah Shammah. Your presence is with us. You love us and you guide us. You will never depart from us. And that means all of us within the sound of my voice this morning. Father, as we're here, we're praying especially for Norma. We've heard what the outcome may be. And Father, we love Norma. We don't want her to suffer. We know she's ready for whatever you have for her. And dear God, we know that you are there in that hospital room with her this very moment. And we're quite confident that she feels your presence. Father, we pray for Chester. Be with him, as this is a huge change in his life that he may be approaching. We pray, dear God, that you will hold him close and you will make your presence known to him. And we just pray for your divine will to be done in the lives of both Chester and Norma. We pray for Martha. We pray for her as she has a swallow test. And Father, we pray that she'll pass it with flying colors and she'll once again be able to go back to solid food, good food. And Father, we know that there is a reason for all things. And we don't always understand the reasons, but we know that your divine presence is with us. And as we continue to pray, we are so caught up in the situation in Ukraine and Poland. And dear God, we pray for those dear souls over there. And we pray for healing of relationships between countries. We pray for this carnage to stop. And dear God, we pray that your faithful will remain strong. And Father, that they will feel your presence with them also. We pray for peace. We want peace in the world, peace in our country, peace in our homes. And dear God, we want peace in our daily lives. You are the greatest symbol of peace that there is, and we put our trust and our hope and our faith in you. And Father, I pray for our pastor as he brings us the message this day. I pray that our hearts and our minds may be open and receptive to the words that he brings. And Father, I pray that when we leave this place, we will be your ambassadors as we go out into the world. We give thanks for each person that you bring into our lives, maybe for a few minutes, a day, a week, or years to come. We know there is a purpose for each relationship. Dear God, we pray that we will listen to you, we will look at others through the eyes of Jesus, and we will be loving and kind to all. It's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's stand in honor of God's word. We'll be reading from Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1, as Jesus is entering the city. Open your heart to God's word. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And this is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, so in many ways, Palm Sunday feels like a long-awaited day of celebration in the season of Lent. We haven't reached Easter yet, but getting to wave palm branches and shout Hosanna, it still feels like a reprieve from the somber tones of fasting and repentance that have consumed this season. Yet we forget that while we shout Hosanna, that word is actually a cry of desperation. It means, "Lord, please save us." It's a plea for rescue. The people in the crowds that day weren't singing songs of joy and worship in the ways that we typically think about it, but they were singing songs of liberation. They were an oppressed people. They wanted and needed a savior, and not just in a metaphorical sense, but in a very real sense. They were actually suffering, and they longed to be saved. Sometimes we ridicule the crowd from that day as though they totally missed the point of Jesus coming. And we treat their expectation for a political revolutionary to come as ludicrous, as ridiculous, as missing the point. Yet, if you were in their circumstances under the oppression of Rome, wouldn't you long for some of the same? And the truth is that even though Jesus came in unexpected ways, he came peacefully. He wasn't on a giant stallion with an army. He came on a couple of humble animals with a few of his friends. Even though he came in this different way, he did, in a very real sense, come to liberate them. And his liberation was going to look different from what they thought, but it was never meant to be only about spiritual things and not concerned with their other problems and pain. It was meant to encompass all of it, more than what they were looking for. So if we're not careful, we can miss some of the drama of this day. We can miss the power of the cries of the people and just how tangible it was that they knew they needed Jesus. They just weren't quite sure how much they needed him. And this morning, if we aren't careful, we can gloss over the realities of our own lives. We can overlook or try to pretend our own suffering, our own pain isn't there, or the pain and suffering of our neighbors and friends. We have our own need for a Savior, and it means all and every part of us, not just our hearts, not just so a sense of guilt could be relieved, but so that we could truly be delivered. So let's not gloss over the deep-hearted cries of Hosanna, "Lord, please come." Instead, let's enter into those cries and look to Jesus. So in this scene, we have Jesus, we have the disciples, and we have the people. So up to now, Jesus has had a very close day in and day out relationship with his disciples. He's been trying to teach them everything about the life that God has for us. So they pray with him, they eat with him, they travel with him, and they minister alongside of him to those who are in need. And this pattern has been going on for at least a year, but many scholars say perhaps 3 years, Jesus was ministering with his disciples. So it started small somewhat, but Jesus' ministry has increasingly become public. And now they're probably sensing, the disciples were, that things are sort of going to change from this point on. Now Jesus, in the midst of this, he's teaching them to hold their nerve, to trust and obey, and even as they come into the final week of his life, to keep their hand to the plow of following him. So, he gives them some tasks to do. He sends them on a mission to go and get a donkey and a colt, right? This is going to be in preparation for going public in Jerusalem. So here's a thing to just keep in mind. Sometimes having stuff to do for the Lord can keep us from overthinking it. I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes having stuff to do for the Lord can keep us from overthinking it as we're going through the challenges of life. So taking on responsibilities in a ministry, it can be a good way to bring some purpose to your week, to fill some space and to give structure to your relationship with Christ. So I'll say this, we've got stuff you could do around the church if you're looking for a way to volunteer and to participate, to be in focus. The people there that were on the scene there, besides the disciples, they were connecting with Jesus on their own level as well. Now they're hoping that he's the answer to their prayers. And instead of aligning their prayers with who Jesus came to be, they're trying to make it to where Jesus is the answer to the prayers they want. So, as always, they wished for a king. It seems like that's the story from the beginning to end of the Bible. It seems like God's people are always looking for a human leader to fulfill their dreams. I think that continues down to today. We tend to look at politics as a way to protect our comfort, but Jesus looks at leadership as a way to help the needy. He wasn't craving earthly power. He wasn't going to be everything that these people wanted because they wanted some things that really weren't good for them. But on another level, the people were right. He was the Messiah. He was sent by God, and he was there to save them. Let's look at verse 9 again. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Now again, Hosanna was the cry. Literally it means, "Lord, save us. God, deliver us." Or in this context, it's almost like saying, "God's deliverance to the Son of David." Or, "Lord, give the Son of David success in delivering us from our enemies." That's kind of what they're crying out for. Now, the Son of David, you remember who David is from the Old Testament? He's the greatest king in the history of Israel. He is the one who had tried to honor God. He brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city and made the worship of the Lord the most high priority for the nation. And he tried to follow God. He was said to be a man after God's own heart. But the temptations of being a king became a struggle for him eventually. And there was brokenness that entered into the story. But God promised that a son of David, a descendant of David, would come, and he would be the one to rule forever and ever, and he would deliver the people. So they had the right guy, right? And they had one of the right titles for him, Son of David. That much they had right. They had the right prayer, "Lord, save us." And I wish that they had been focusing a little bit more on the Lord part than on exactly how God was going to do it, because they weren't thinking big enough. So sometimes we zoom out when God is zooming in and we miss the point. And sometimes we're zooming in when God is zooming out. But either way, God always hears our cries and God always cares. I'm going to say that again. Even if we don't get it right, God always hears our cries, and God always cares. But God is the one who gets to reframe our circumstances. We're constantly framing it as we see it, and we're telling God sometimes that he needs to see it our way. But he's the one in the end that will decide what should happen and what will happen according to his will. So these people were oppressed. They legitimately needed political deliverance. But Jesus was on a once-and-for-all mission. He only had one shot to come into our world and deliver. And the truth is, if he gave them a political Messiah, how long would that last, right? We hold elections in our country, and sometimes people feel like, oh, we won, our guy got elected, right? And then for 4 years, they're in office, but the world changes, the people change, and something else happens, and maybe that's not the leader we thought they were going to be, or it's time for a different leader to come, or just other people decide they want to be more active in politics, and they elect a new leader. And so it's very temporary. Political deliverance doesn't last. So Jesus came to do for us what every people would need. Jesus came to do for us what would work no matter who's in charge on an earthly level. Jesus came to meet needs that could be met no matter what the politics of the situation are. And what Jesus had to do was for all people in every nation, under every authority, and their children in every generation that was to come. So yeah, you could say God was zooming out in this circumstance to meet the needs of the whole human race. But it was a cry of a specific people, his own chosen people, that drew God's loving action. Because of his compassion toward them, he did something that would bless us all. Amen? So I'm thankful that they cried out for God's deliverance. And I'm thankful that he came in answer to their cry, but on a deeper level than they could ever imagine, with all of us in mind, aren't you? So this morning, our suffering matters. Justice matters. But human brokenness goes deeper than any temporary political solution. And Jesus goes deeper than our pain and our problems. But he also goes deeper than we ever dared to dream. And what he's offering us is life. Eternal life. A life that has the strength to overcome the darkness, the pain, the suffering, the oppression. A life that overcomes the world. Amen. So, here he comes, this little man on a little donkey and colt in a small vassal territory to a brutal empire. It's just no match, really. It wasn't even close. The Roman Empire and the devil combined never had a chance. Amen? Because this little man on this little donkey and horse, this man who came in such humility, came in the power of God, came with authority from heaven, amen? And these earthly kingdoms of oppression and greed, those who brought weapons, those who came to bring fear, they could not stand before him in the end. You know, they didn't understand what the fight was. They brought greed and weapons to a battle for the soul of the people. And they brought hate. And hate is no match for the power of holy love. Amen. Well, Jesus did call on people who had to be more than generous. Jesus did call on leaders to not forget the poor. Jesus changed the lives of many who were lame and unable to work so they could get back to living. He planted seeds that would eventually be the undoing of an empire in a few generations, because this empire was based on greed, violence, and conquest. And he showed us how to live with compassion and mercy. And as the Roman Empire crumbled, but the church grew in number, serving people, loving people, helping the outcasts, taking the abandoned children in, as that army of love grew all across the land, eventually the Roman Empire said, "We're not sure how to do this anymore. Can you help us?" Now, in some ways, I wish the church hadn't quite answered that call so vigorously, because it seems like when we were the underdog and the outlaw, we did more good. But the truth is that Jesus and the power of his love marched on and overcame the darkness. So this morning, God can deliver you. God can deliver me from every kind of oppression and darkness in life. Sometimes God moves in our circumstances and he changes the whole equation, and a problem that was there, it just disappears because of his mighty power. But more often than that, God heals us. God strengthens us. He provides for us in other ways so we're able to meet the obligations of the moment. And his power enables us to overcome despite the challenges that remain. Can some of you testify to that? That God has given you what you needed to overcome the darkness of the moment. That he's seen, anybody had God see them through the hour of grief. Anyone had God see them through a time when there was too much month at the end of the money. Anybody here this morning be able to work it out when relationships broke down and God gave you the power to work it out? Can I hear some amens this morning? Has God delivered you through it? Well, we believe the power of the Holy Spirit changes lives. And I want to say this morning that you can leave old pathways behind. It's never easy, but you can find new pathways to follow in Jesus. You can find a way through where there seemed to be no way. And where everything feels like a dead end, you can experience new life. And suddenly, it's okay. But it all starts with Jesus coming into our world. So aren't you glad that he did? Let's take our palm branches again. And I want you to think of all the needs and the burdens that you're concerned about this morning. And let's say it again. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. When you're saying Hosanna, you're saying, Lord, save me, right? Lord, save us. Deliver us in our hour of grief. Deliver us, Lord, in our time of need. Deliver us, Lord, for there's not enough money. Deliver us, Lord, for relationships are broken and suffering. Deliver us, Lord, because we don't know how it's all going to work out. Hosanna. Well, this morning, God wants to answer that prayer. And his whole life was coming down to this final week. As Jesus entered into the city, the people were crying out. And so they saw it, hopefully, as the beginning of something political. That's not quite how it turned out. By the end of the week, we know where Jesus would be. But Jesus, knowing that, still made the turn for home. He wouldn't be sleeping in an earthly castle fit for a king, because the shadow of the cross was leaning over this moment. The noise, the chaos, the excitement, it was palpable that day. You could feel it all and more in the street. There was no more hiding who Jesus was. He was the Messiah, and therefore he was a threat to everything that was holding people down. And those in power were not planning to lay down their power anytime soon. But Jesus, are you with me this morning? Jesus was willing to lay down even more power than they ever imagined. In strength and in love, Jesus stepped into history, stepped into his destiny. Things were happening now, and it wouldn't be long. And so here we are, Holy Week. And as we stand at the beginning of it, what's your take on Jesus this morning? Are you like those who said, who is this guy? Is he your Messiah? Is he the one you look to for forgiveness? Is he the one that you serve with loyalty and obedience? Are you serving and preparing for him to be revealed in our world today. Well, then wave those branches and give thanks that the Son of David has come and we are ready to celebrate and remember all that he did for us. Make this a week of special devotion. Join us Friday night at 6:30 p.m. as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the one that he made for us on the cross. Join us next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to celebrate the victory that Jesus won at the empty tomb. What a week it's going to be. And I hope and pray that Jesus will be revealed to you for all that he is. And my prayer is that you'll receive him as he is, and that you'll bow in wonder and in worship. But if you're more like the crowd and you're still wanting Jesus to make your dreams come true, consider zooming out this morning. If your dreams are good ones, don't worry. Chances are there'll be fulfilling moments that lie ahead. But it begins with a head bowed in humility. Amen. Go ahead and wave your branches today, but open yourself to the idea that Jesus may have more for you than you realize. And if you take all that he's offering, you'll find a more fulfilling life than even what you're longing for. And you too could join us Friday night and Sunday morning. It might be a life-changing week for you. So Hosanna to the Son of David. Let's say it together. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord, although he healed and he delivered and he taught and he trained in obscurity before this moment, on the day we remember today, he went public that this is who he is. And what he came to bring was God's will and God's deliverance. And he believed and knew and understood that nothing could hold back what he was unleashing on that day. And Father, the world thought they had it all contained. They thought it was just a little thing and a little crowd and it didn't matter. But oh, I'm so grateful that it did matter. That everything that was happening that day was going to change the world for the foreseeable future, all the way down 2,000 years later till here we are in the blessing of it, knowing and receiving from Jesus forgiveness, salvation, life, healing, and power. And so we say, Hosanna, Lord. And we know Jesus is coming again. And we cry out for him to come quickly and deliver this world in the fullness of his kingdom to set all things right. But today we also give thanks that when he did come, he set us right. And so help us to do our part. Lord, the only way we know is because others faithfully, sacrificially have kept telling this story and introducing Jesus to us, and he shows himself strong and faithful. And we live in a time, in a generation that needs to know that Jesus has come and that he will deliver us even in these times. And I pray we'll be the ones to go and to share. Help us to live with special devotion this week. Help us to lean into all that you have for us. And in the service Friday and next Sunday and all the moments in between, Lord, do what only you can do, and we'll be forever grateful. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name, and everyone said, amen. Well, I hope you're glad you came to church today. Let's stand and let's say the Apostles' Creed before we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go in the power and the wonder and the joy of celebrating who Jesus is. May he be Lord in your life, and may he deliver you through the challenges of this week. In Jesus' holy name, amen. God bless you. We'll have Sunday school now over here. We hope you can stay and enjoy it.